why in the world do I have such a hard time with technology?
I don't know. It's never been your thing.
Why can't I need to delete something off of this little micro SD card. There's not an option to delete it. Option to delete. Can't hit the delete button and get to it. Can't right click and delete it.
I'm sorry.
My Rode Procaster is against me.
Seems like a lot of things are
against me lately. good Saturday afternoon, everyone, and thank you for tuning in. I am Roger Metz, and you're back. You kind of bailed on me for part of last show there.
Listen, I am very sorry. I would have loved to be on there with my best friend. But, unfortunately, there's a thing called anatomy test. And right now, anatomy is kicking my butt. So.
And there's also a time crunch for you, too.
There is.
Basketball.
Yeah. But it's all going to be worth it when games start in 2 weeks.
Okay.
It's going to be good.
How many times have you been deer hunting this year?
Let's not even get into that.
Don't go there.
I was willing to skip a basketball event to go hunt for the weekend, and you said there's no reason to go over there of right now because we have no deer. But what we do have is coyotes, and I would love to go shoot some coyotes.
I have a perforated coyote number 3 now this year.
Crazy.
So I saw 4 one time, 3 another time, got one of those. Then I saw 1 by itself and got it, and then I saw this one by itself and got it. Deer really don't like coyotes. I'm convinced. I still have tracks. But in our little area, we've killed 5 coyotes now this year. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and Charles Ruth told me that the coyote population was...
down.
Had come down and was leveled off. I got more coyotes. Paul and I were talking about this the other day. About 7 years ago, we shot the first coyote in Chester. Because it was before we cut timber. Then I got one about 4 years ago, and then 1 last year, and now 3 this year. But the deer are, they are hunkered down right now for some reason or another.
Can you blame them?
No, I can't blame them. I mean, this time of the year, according to the studies that we've talked about on the show, their diet is not venison. The problem is, I'm my own worst enemy in this one because I've got great cover, which has brought out the rats and the mice. Paul was sitting in his stand the other day, said a beautiful red fox, a gray fox, maybe it was a gray fox, I can't remember. Gray fox, I think it was. Said it came trotting down the road past him, went into the corn. 5 minutes later, came out with a little mouse in his mouth. Back to his home. So, you know, I guess creating habitat has created...
Habitat
for lots of things like rats and mice, which brought up the foxes and the coyotes. But I've seen... I had a bunny rabbit within 10 yards of the stand the other night.
Aw, we love bunny rabbits.
A big fat one.
Really?
Kind of like our buddy out here in the backyard, our groundhog buddy.
Wow.
He's out there. He's out there right now.
Oh, hello, little guy.
Yeah.
What did we name him? We named him
Steve.
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 Steve, that's right.
Because he's not scary.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah. He falls
over the
hedge.
Steve.
You know what we're talking about.
Let's name him Steve. Oh, Steve's not so scary. So it's odd that I have quail whistling at night. Mm-hmm. I did see 2 deer. I did see a 4-point and a doe, and he was up browsing. I kind of slipped in on him. And he was up browsing and never knew I was there because of the wind direction, which is something I used to love to do, is slip through the woods. And then he just bedded down right there. And I'm like, dude, I got to climb a tree right over here. You can stay there if you want to. And you're a teenager. I have mercy on lots of teenagers these days, especially teenage boys.
Wow.
Yes.
I've
had mercy on a lot of them here lately. So I extended that mercy to a deer, a little 4-point. I mean, he's a young guy. And he just bedded out there in the middle of, and I was like, okay, I got to go in here. And so I went in, and when he ran off, he had a doe with him.
Ah, look at him.
Yeah. So
now you mentioned quail. I got to ask, because our Egyptian wheat started dropping yet.
Well, the heads are starting to bend over.
Gotcha.
What's even worse is when there's a cardinal on top of one of them. It really gets your heart rate going when you see this 12-foot-tall Egyptian wheat that's kind of bent over start shaking, and you're like, here he comes. He's rubbing up against the stalks of the Egyptian wheat, and this is, you know, big fat cardinal who's gorging himself on Egyptian wheat seed. We do have some habitat. Goodness gracious, it is beautiful over there. This year's just hit it right.
We just got to get the deer in back in there again. Get the coyotes out. Get the deer in.
Sophie's over here. Sophie, quit rubbing your ear.
She got her cone of shame off.
Yeah, cone of shame. It's more like a blade to a bulldozer.
She's a lot happier now.
She's happy. I'm glad she's happier.
We're not hearing.
Quit rubbing your ear.
We're not hearing a bunch of banging anymore.
Stop doing
either.
That. Yeah, but she's going to get another one in the other ear. Cost me another $500. Stop it. Okay. Always nice to have a third party in the room that's like silent that you can abuse.
Oh, yeah.
I abuse you. You talk back to me. So that's just a little bit of what's going on with us. So I hope it's just as interesting over in your part of the world, in your house, and
your neck of the woods.
If you're not outside right now, gosh, you need to be. This is just gorgeous weather. Mm-hmm. Oh, it's gorgeous. But not a whole lot going on unless you make it yourself. But we do have a couple things.
Couple. I have one.
Well, I have one too. So that's two. That's
okay.
A couple.
Well, okay. I thought a couple was like three.
Together. No, a couple. Several is
couple.
Fewer.
Couple.
Several is three.
There we go. Okay. Yeah.
Couple's two.
Got it.
What grade are you in? Yeah. Don't answer that.
Okay.
So anyway.
I'm school.
So the short calendar this week is brought to you by
Visit Anderson. Green Pond Landing and Event Center.
She is still on top of one thing.
I didn't know if you were going to take the other part.
No, I'm not going to do it. Okay, so the first one, the Ronald McDonald House. Now, we have benefited from the Ronald McDonald House years ago. And so when things come around, it's always fun to talk about it. Ronald McDonald House Charities, Columbia, South Carolina, will host our 14th annual Sporting Clays Tournament on Friday, November the 20th. Is that 20th right there? It is. 2020.
What grade
my
are
you toner's
in?
Yeah, my toner's going out. The tournament will take place at the Hermitage Farms, 2362 Tickle Hill Road in Camden, South Carolina. The first flight of shooting will begin at 9 a.m. and the second flight will begin at 12 p.m. There'll be an added safety measure to ensure the safety of all participants, blah, 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 blah. You can
blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, there's raffle tickets involved and all, and it all goes to benefit the Ronald McDonald Charities of Columbia, South Carolina. You can go to their website, Ronald McDonald House, or Hermitage Farm Shooting Sports, and find out more information on the cost and details.
Gotcha. Okay. I don't have anything new. We mentioned this. What was it, last week? No, week before.
Oh, it's been several weeks, maybe a month ago.
Okay. Just a reminder about the South Carolina Hunters for the Hungry. Their annual dinner has been canceled, but they are still doing gun raffles. They'll be doing the drawing December 15th at 7 o'clock on Facebook Live. You don't have to be on the live to win, but you have to purchase a ticket. It's $25 per ticket, and... Yeah.
Well, they have like 5, 10, probably 30 guns there.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
At least. Some good ones, too. Mm-hmm. Browning's and
Winchester's.
Tickas and Henry's, Ruger's.
It's a good one. Y'all go check that out.
It's a good one. And to benefit a good cause, too.
Exactly.
Okay. This has been coming for months. Disclaimer, I did not pick the music for today's show.
I did. Woohoo!
Bye. Here you go, folks. Hang on. We'll be back with more Woods and Water South Carolina on the other side of whatever this is. Everything I need, nothing that I don't. Everything I need, nothing that I don't. Everything I need. Somebody help me. Oh, everything I need, and nothing that I don't. How long does this go on?
Just wait.
I'm a stone so from the mill. This is not a radio program.
And I'm a good walk to the river when my working day's over.
Oh, come on, Dad.
This is not an FM country music station.
Listen, the thing with you is, the thing you need to get over is...
Oh, excuse
me? You like country music, but you don't like my country music.
That's exactly right.
But, see, they've got to merge at some point.
No, they don't.
Yeah, they do.
No, they don't.
I'm not like bro country. I'm not like bro country. I'm not Luke Bryan and stuff like that. I mean, he's got some good songs. But, no, Dad... Turn it off. Turn it off.
See? This is music.
Turn it off. I didn't appreciate that.
I'm sure you didn't.
At all. At all.
Welcome back to the father-daughter fight. Saturday afternoon fights.
Saturday afternoon fights.
This is probably not the main event, but it's one to get you started. Oh, me. We do have fun here, folks.
Yes, we do.
We're not always this nice to each other.
But we live together.
So we don't have to be, you know? Oh, gosh. That's an ugly picture.
That is a very ugly picture.
What was his name?
You paused it at the wrong time.
Twisted Sister. Oh, gosh. What was his name? I can't remember his name. Lead singer.
I can't help you with that at all.
Huh?
I can't help you with that at all. I'm sorry.
It's right there. It's like, lead singer, Twisted. Yeah, he's dead now. Dee Snider.
Ooh, he looks very interesting. Wow.
Dee Snider.
Very interesting.
Yes.
I like the sunglasses.
Yeah, not so much the hair.
No. Well, he doesn't have much right. of it.
No, it's braided down the back, sweetheart.
Oh, my.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
gosh.
You can't see that, but anyway. Yes, for the month of November, I have acquiesced and given Taylor the reins of the intro and outro music, which is, hey, it's a whole other job in itself, going through finding good intro that doesn't, you know, and then the outro really is the tough one, because you don't want to put the people to sleep as mm-hmm. the segment ends.
Yeah, that's the hard part.
So, anyway.
I'm already planning songs for next week. Y'all
good.
Get ready.
Good.
It's going to be good.
It is deer season.
Believe it or not.
And, you know, I think I'm fairly good at controlling my scent. I try to play the wind mm-hmm. when I can, although the wind is drunk. It's like when the sun goes down, the wind says it's 5 o'clock somewhere. I mean, it is just every time I get in the stand, unless it's blowing 15 miles an hour, it blows nice and steady up until prime time, and then it starts wavering and swirling, and I call it getting drunk. Yeah. Unmeasured power. How well can whitetail deer smell? Wish I had the lights on in here. I'm going to turn the lights on.
Okay. You cook.
Hang on just a second, folks.
See, this is the good thing about being able to record a show at home. You just do whatever you need to do.
Look at that. Let there be light. Electric light, that is. No. Oh, gosh. I can't. This is Meat Eater. Yeah, this is a Meat Eater article about deer scents and the sense of smell. Mm-hmm. It's insane. Some of the numbers you're going to hear in this. So, you know, you kind of rank the nose of a deer as... between the nose, ears, and the eyes, deer have such an advantage. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's not even funny, especially when you bow hunt, especially when your world is condensed down to 30 yards. but you say young hunters, you know, they're full of the odor killing ozone dispensers, scent suppressing soaps, sprays and detergents, and scent trapping clothes and scent purifying gear bags. Old hunters aren't as skeptical. You know, we believe you can reduce it. I think you reduce it. I don't think you can totally eliminate it. Enough human odors to make deer think we're, you know, safe. But the deer's nose, and it paraphrases Grant Woods in here. It says, human can smell a casserole cooking in the kitchen, but deer can specify the age, amount, and origins of each meat, vegetable, and seasoning in the dish. And I've heard Grant say that before. They can probably gauge the oven temp, the ingredients, depth, and distribution in the bowl, and how long it's all been stewing. Deer can discern that all from down the hall, not just the hallway. So you can't, you can prove claims, but they've done a bunch of research. So Carl Miller, Professor Carl Miller at University of Georgia, doubts science can ever definitively compare a deer's olfaction capabilities with a human's. It goes through a little bit of here, and it goes, some estimates that our nose has about 30 million receptor sites. 30 million, okay? That's like from a 2007 study. Other recent estimates put the number at 10 to 50 million receptors. But before this century, the estimate was 5 million. So you got kind of a range there up to 50 million. categorizing all those receptor sites by their specific scenting capabilities is difficult. Even though we can describe what we smell, but because of the difficulties, scientists can't specify how many odors our nose can detect. And if you listen to Grant on the show earlier, he was talking about that deer can catalog scents. That's why, they can tell what's dangerous and not, because they catalog it by the receptors in their mouth, actually. So anyway, the article goes on. One early 1990s report estimated whitetails had nearly 500 million receptor sites. But now that's considered low. Recent estimates indicate rabbits have 100 million receptor sites, dogs have 1 billion, bloodhounds have 4 billion, and the surface that called the nasal epithelial, the internal nose tissues covered in receptors, measures 9 square centimeters in humans, 21 centimeters in cats, 170 square centimeters in some dogs, bloodhounds, top the list at 381 square centimeters, roughly 43 times the surface area inside a human nose. So that's the science behind it. Although long-nosed animals have far more scent receptor sites than humans, the region of our brain that processes olfactory input is more extensive than previously realized. This means we might have extensive brain power for analyzing what we smell, further complicating scent discerning comparisons with animals. It gets deep, doesn't it? Still, given that researchers in 1981 estimated that a German Shepherd's nose is 10,000 times more sensitive than a human's nose in detecting a specific raspberry chemical, it's doubtful our brains can make up such differences. The drug-sniffing dogs.
Ah, that is true.
Live PD. Gosh, we miss live PD. That was family night for us.
Yep.
Friday and Saturday nights. Now we have other things. Meanwhile, the deer's nose hasn't received the scientific scrutiny of noses of humans and dogs. Grant, however, thinks the deer's nose likely tops both. He argues that deer couldn't have survived their long evolution alongside wolves, coyotes, and large cats if their nose wasn't more sensitive than the predators' noses. And he says, deer's number one goal in life is to survive. Mm-hmm. Let's see. It's conceivable that elk and deer have a billion and some receptor sites, all targeting vast arrays of individual odors. That's why deer can detect infinitely different scents at once. They can also pinpoint, triangulate each scent's origins based on how many receptors it triggers, temperature variances inside their nose, and each receptor's locations within their two nasal cavities. That's why sometimes when you see a deer, he'll look at you, he'll tilt his head and kind of back and forth and kind of roll his lips out and all, because it's like scent radar. You look at it that way. Even if the scientists could stop it, Sophie, quit whining. She's hungry. Go lay down. Could map a deer's nose and specify the scent elimination focus of each receptor site, they still wouldn't know how its brain processes information transmitted by those nerve endings. So research 25 years ago in the deer's eyes of similar limitations, you know, the many mysteries of the rods, the cones, the retinas, and other physical parts in a whitetail's eyes. Their findings gave strong clues about the whitetail's dual color vision capabilities. So, can a deer smell 10 times better than us or 100,000 times better? The answer might be yes, but it might also depend on the odor, humidity levels, and air temperatures. It's impossible to get at all those many factors.
Huh.
Makes you just want to stay in the bed in the morning, doesn't it?
Uh-huh. But, I mean, it's kind of funny, though. You learn these things, you become more aware. Like you were saying, if you see, you know, if you see a deer, he starts to smell you. Like you said, he lifts his head up.
They lift their head trying to wind you.
Yeah, exactly. You become way more aware of what happens when these things, you know, when they smell you, when they see you, stuff like that. That I don't know. It amazes me. The more time I spend on reading these articles, the more time I'm out there, the more time I hear stuff from you, it's just like, wow.
Nature's intriguing, and it'll boggle your mind.
Boggle.
Because sometimes I have had deer walk up and sniff the ladder I climbed up on. And you're thinking, well, you're kind of stupid. I'll let you live for a while longer. You know, it's just different. Every animal reacts differently, and that's, you can say that about, and sometimes it just, like, the smell doesn't matter. I think a lot of it has to do with their environment. Mm-hmm. You know, what are they used to smelling, hearing? You missed twice last year.
I did.
And the deer's just standing there.
Yep.
Hey, my neighbor raises bird dogs. Mm-hmm. You know, they hear shooting all the time.
In my defense, though, my scope was not right. I was not set up right. It kind of came out of the blue. I was not ready for it. Just to be clear. So, anyway.
Excuses get you nowhere. All right, let's endear another outro music. Y'all hang on. We'll be back with more Woods and Water. And Randy Howell
is
going to be with us. Y'all hang on. Talking about a fundraiser for King's Home. Pretty cool story.
Caught up in the country.
It's starting to hurt.
No, it's not. You've only been through two segments.
I'm gonna regret ever giving you the musical controls.
Well, guess what, Daddy? I got it for the whole month.
I know, which is really sad.
This took two Advil 30 minutes ago.
Well, folks, if you don't recognize that voice, that is a guy who's become a good friend. I enjoy seeing him out. I actually got to marshal with him at the 18 Bassmaster Classic on Lake Hartwell. He is, gosh, Randy, you've been at this a long time. A 27-year veteran of bass tournament fishing, Randy Howell. I mean, when your phone rings, it's Randy Howell, and he wants to come on the radio show, what do you say to him, Taylor?
No.
Come on, Taylor. Come on. Man, you go way back, Taylor.
Oh, way back. Way back.
Yeah.
But seriously, thanks for giving me a call. What we're going to talk about is going to be fun. I love that you do this. And, I mean, you got a 10-year history. This is the 10th year you've been doing this. And, folks, get your checkbooks out or get your debit cards out, because this is an opportunity for you to to have a giveaway for a boat.
And win a
boat for a very great cause. And with that, Randy, I'm just going to kind of turn it over to you. You tell us what you're doing. If we got a few minutes, we'll talk about the MLF schedule after it's over. But take it away.
Hey, I appreciate y'all having me on here today, too.
Yes, sir.
And it's once a year. You know, we do it every year, and it's snuck up on us again.
Yeah.
This crazy year we've had. And November 14th, it's this time we backed it up a week this year. But 10th annual, this is the 10th year we've done the Triton Boat Giveaway for King's Home. And And for this lots of people, we've raised $1.5 million for this charity over the last 9 years. Yeah, over the last 9 years. And so lots of people, hopefully, that are listening right now have already donated in the past and had a chance to win the boat in the past. But if you haven't, it's the first time. You know, we're calling on everybody to come out and do it this time by, you know, get at least one ticket, if not more.
Sure.
But, my fully loaded Triton, and I mean, it's head to toe. I'm actually sitting in it right now while I'm talking. I got the Lowrance Ghost trolling motor on the front here, and I got Lowrance HDS-16 on the dash in the bow, in the back, and then a 12 in the front, a TH Marine Hydrowave, Atlas Jackplate, Mercury, four-stroke 250, power pole blades, the power pole charge system, blue water LED lights all the way around. I mean, it's got everything you can just about get on one head to toe.
Yep.
And it's only got 110 hours this year because we haven't fished
short
as
season.
Many
yeah.
This year. Yeah. So it's a great, great opportunity. And King's Home, those that don't know in your area there, it's a Birmingham based Christian charity for kids and ladies. So it's like a two-part ministry. They have four different girls and boys ranch type environments, and then about 15 women's homes scattered around four counties of Alabama. So they serve over 150 kids, teens, and women with children, and then just women in general coming from domestic violence or homelessness, bad situations like that. And all the kids that are in the homes all have come from super bad abuse situations. They're wards of the state, so to speak, a lot of them, and a lot of them have come out of foster care, from bad foster care situations. And so anyway, it's a great opportunity. They help a lot of people, and we've been a part of kind of been close with them for going on 13 years now, but the boat giveaway for 10 years, and it's really making a big difference. So thank you, everybody, that's helped us in the past and this opportunity. We're having a fishing event that day in Alabama here on their ranch. Every year we do it. We'll have a kids fishing event. So at the lake, all the high school teams come out and help us do that. And that's a fun day. And at the end of the event, it's a big outdoor fun event with food and music and vendors and all kinds of stuff. And at the end, we'll get on the stage there. And it'll be live streamed on my Facebook page. It's Randy Howell Fishing on Facebook, and you can watch it live. And I'll call the winner when we draw it out after it's audited three times by an independent audit firm. All the tickets are printed out. It's all digital. Everything's in the computer. No tickets are sold outside of the computer. Everything stays internal.
Okay.
And then it's audited, and it comes, and they cut it and print it right out. So everything's equal going into that barrel. And they spin that big barrel right on the stage live where you see it, and one of the kids pulls it out. Man, that's a fun. It's the most fun. And I get choked up every year.
Oh, I can only imagine.
So close. I mean, I almost lose it every year when I try to start, when I call the winner. Uh-huh. I don't know why it gets me, but when I call the winner and I get them on the phone and everybody's hollering out in the background, and I've got the microphone, and I'm like, hey, it's Randy Howell. Did you buy a ticket to win my boat? You know, and you hear the excitement in their voice. Man, I get choked up every time. It's just so exciting to know how much of a difference we're able to make collectively over the whole fishing industry. And we've sold tickets in 49 states and seven other countries now over the last 9 years.
Wow.
So big impact for a lot of people. So, and not only for our charity, our ministry there, King's Home, but also it just brings awareness to all the need-based ministries and charities all over the country that need help. So
more so this year, you know?
Yeah, more so than ever, because everybody choked up, tightened up, quit giving to charities this year with all the COVID stuff. So they really have taken a hit. So I'm thankful right now we're not behind on our ticket giving. Everybody has been doing good. We're a little bit ahead of last year, so we're hoping – our goal has been 2,000 tickets every year, and we barely hit 2,000 last year. I had a goal of 2,500 this year. I'm hoping to hit 2,500 because that'd be $250,000 we could raise. And so all you got to do, if you're listening up here, if you're driving, tell somebody to write this down or do it. Don't just stop what you're doing right now. Don't do it while you're driving. But it's kingshome.com. And that's the website. It'll go straight there. But if you want to go straight to the donate page, kingshome.com/Randy Howell, and it'll take you right to that spot there. And you can read all about it, see a picture of the boat, and you can make your donation with your credit card right there. And it's also a phone number there if you want to just call it in and you don't want to fool with doing it online. We also, with the ladies, are there Monday through Friday. 8:30 to 5 Central Time, and you can call area code 205-831-6778. That's 205-831-6778. No, my bad. Wrong number. I'm going out of my messed up memory here. It's 205-678-8331.
There you go.
I said it right that time. I don't know what
the other said it right
was.
That time.
It's dyslexia coming back.
Randy, you said you've been associated with her for 13 years. How do you come to be associated with a home that works with troubled youth and battered women?
I'm glad you asked. It happened in back in the 2007 Bassmaster Classic in Birmingham, and they reached out to me on my website, just randyhowell.com, sent me an email and said one of the directors there and said we'd like to see if with a Bassmaster in town if we could get some anglers to come out and maybe do a talk to some of our boys that like to fish, and they use fishing as a rehabilitation deal that
okay.
out there, boys, that they have horse riding, they have fishing, they've got a lot of stuff that just gets them out in nature and gets them away from their environment, the bad stuff they've been in. And so I said, yes. Yeah, so I checked with Bassmaster and at the time ESPN on the tour, and they said they couldn't do anything for them because they only worked with the Jimmy V Foundation at the time, and they wouldn't do it. So they said, well, you do it, you got to do it on your own. So I said, well, I'll do it. So I just went out, me and Robin, and thinking that we were just going to do a good deed and go meet some nice kids. And I got out there, man, it hit our hearts. I couldn't hardly walk around the place just hearing the stories and hearing what goes on and just seeing the love that's out there in that environment with all those house parents and the directors and just how much they care about these kids and rehabilitating and helping them and helping the ladies. So when we got done that day, I said, you know, what can we do to help y'all? And they said, we just need awareness. We need people to know about us so we can get, you know, raise money. And I said, well, I'll help you any way I can. So we kind of turned into an idea a couple months later that what if we put it on the boat and try to promote it. And then we did that the first year. And then that next year, I thought, well, let me talk to some of my sponsors and see if I could figure out how I could just give my boat, donate my boat, and give it away to use it as a fundraiser. And so it just snowballed into that. And then, you know, a couple of years after that, I went to Classic in Birmingham, and they were all in the arena there watching, and had 100 and plus of them there seeing it. And it kind of got the spotlight of the world on them on ESPN that day. And that kind of made sense of the whole fundraiser, what we're doing and why we're doing it. And it kind of put them on the map, and that's where it's taken off since then. So,
wow.
Just a blessing to get to do it every year, and it's the largest fundraiser of the year for the charity, so I never want it to stop. I want it to just be a year after year after year, and more people grow and grow, and it helps more people, and that's what it's all about. So it's a lot of fun.
And that right there, folks, is the heart of Randy Howell. If you know Randy, you know right there when he talks about getting choked up and all that, that is the heart of Randy Howell. And you know, we burned it up. We're not going to get to the schedule, but it was good.
Oh,
I love that you got all that in on King's Home. Folks, if you're interested in doing, go do it. Go spend $100 for a ticket. It's a boat giveaway. And, Randy, I want to say one of the best days I've had on the water as a marshal was the day we spent together. It was fun.
Even though I didn't catch them really good.
No,
fun.
but you slung a bathylate wacky worm under a dock and caught one, and you stopped at the bridge and caught one on the way back to the ramp, and I was like, well, there you go. That's how Randy Howell fishes.
That's how I roll. Last minute, dramatics all the time. Everything I've ever done coming to last minute.
That's it. Well, look, man, right. I appreciate you coming on. I appreciate you calling me and giving me a heads up. Let's touch base. We got the schedule going. We might call you back on the schedule, but man, thanks for doing this. Take care, and I'll be sure to get the word out for you.
Yeah, we appreciate everybody's support. Thank you, Taylor, and we'll do it next time.
All right. Take care, Randy.
See y'all later.
All righty. Bye.
Still chasing you.
The downside of this, we have to listen to it longer.
Oh, be happy. Just vibe with it. It's
that was a song,
song,
Be Happy.
Well, it's not this song.
No, it's not this song.
You
See?
Josh Turner.
This is not an FM country music show.
You cannot go wrong.
Oh, yeah, you can, too.
No, you can.
Boy, I wish Boston hadn't taken their music and put it under legal contract ownership.
But my songs
I could replace
good.
That in a heartbeat.
My songs are good. Well, you can't for this entire month, so get ready.
I know. Y'all bear with us.
Listen, some of them may like it.
Some may like it. Some won't. Are you going to be responsible for losing listeners to this show?
Oh, pshaw. Yeah, right.
Well, you got mad at me for taking up the last segment.
I did.
Before
taking
Randy.
Up all the spotlight.
Speaking of Randy, if you're interested, and I know he said it a couple times, he is a great guy. I mean, he and Robin and the boys, they're just good, good people. And I've been in the boat with him a couple times. Like I said, Marshall with him at the 18 Classic on Hartwell. We just had a ball that day. And he caught fish. Don't let him tell you he didn't catch fish. I have pictures to prove it. In fact, I have a picture of like a lizard or something. One of them coughed up on the deck of the boat. And he looked at the thing and he goes, what is that? Because it's like missing legs and tail and stuff. And it was just kind of, it took us a couple minutes to figure out what it was. There's always a story with this. There's always a story when you're out with these guys. But anyway, King's Home, KingsHome.com/Randy Howell, takes you straight to the boat giveaway. It's a donation of $100 to King's Home. And like I said, he makes the call next Saturday, 14th. So you can slide right in there on the back end, and you know sometimes the last person in is the first person to win. So, anyway, appreciate Randy. Yeah, he called me. He says, hey, man. He said, you got a few minutes I can give you? I said, Randy, for you, anytime, bud. He's been a really good friend of mine. Been on the show. Hadn't been on the last few years, but I remember when they used to come in town for the elite events, when he was fishing the elites, and they would have the night with the elites at the church, and they'd have the wild game dinner and speak and testimony time and all. He was always calling me. I was always his guest at those things. So, been a good guy. He actually did, when I mentioned the high school bass class, he came the Sunday in December 17 and gave his testimony. Mm-hmm. Powerful testimony. If you don't know much about Randy Howell, it's a moving one. Mm-hmm. Okay, so enough about that. You've got something you'd like to share with us.
I do, but on Randy Howell's subject, we will have him back on to go over the MLF schedule.
Yeah.
Because we got some fun stops. He said himself, this is one of the best schedules
yes,
we've had.
He liked the schedule.
So, we'll have to have him back on for a segment or two. But yeah, so we're kind of switching gears here. And Dad, I want you to come in on this with me because you've definitely made
you
an impression.
You know I will.
Well, but I'm going to be responsible and ask this
oh,
time.
Oh, okay. All right.
You know. But I know you've drilled into my mind that when you're hunting by yourself, safety is number one.
Yes.
And even not hunting by yourself, just hunting in general, anything in the outdoors, you need to keep your safety first.
Hiking, camping, hunting, mm-hmm. boating.
Fishing.
Yeah, it's you have to take a self-preservationist outlook when you're in the outdoors because the outdoors is very unforgiving. Mm-hmm. Very unforgiving.
It is.
You know.
Oh, I thought you were about to say something.
No. Okay. Go ahead.
So hunting alone, it can be a very different experience than hunting with somebody else because everything that happens is a direct result of your actions. And it is in your power that you have is what's going to happen to you. And it's in your hands.
Like wearing a safety vest.
Exactly. So a hunt alone can go very well as long as you keep your head on your shoulders and think about what you are doing. So here are 8 tips for a safe hunt. Have a thought out plan. That's very important. You know, if you're going to be on a long solo elk trip, you need to figure out how you're getting out there. How are you? Are you going to hike? Are you going to drive? Are you going to have an ATV? Are you going to ride a horse, which I would love to do.
Horse is the way to go there.
You've done that before, haven't you?
I've done the horses, I've done the hiking, I've done the ATV. I like the horses best.
Well, okay, so if
the hiking wasn't bad, but okay. I better not go because you're going to run out of time if I start talking about things.
So, I mean, if you have a horse, what are you going to do with the horse when you get there? Tie it up? Or are you going to set up?
You got to feed it.
Are you going to set up camp? How are you going to bring the supplies? What supplies do you need? Stuff like that. So they've set out a checklist here for a solo hunt. What weapon are you going to be using? Have you practiced with it? What will you wear? Have you checked the weather? How are you getting to your hunting spot? Will you be setting up a camp? How long will you be in the woods? Do you need to bring food or just a couple of snacks? How are you going to retrieve your animal? How are you going to clean your harvest animal? What are you going to put the meat in for bringing it back? So just some things you need to really think about. And, you know, I feel like that's one of the things that a lot of us fail at. I know I fail at it a lot. I always forget my flashlight. That's not a good thing to forget at all.
Not on the evening hunt.
No, it's not.
Well, that list brings back some memories of some elk trips out west that I just as soon forget.
I can't relate to that. Sadly.
When your boot is frozen to the ground in the morning because it's 5 degrees inside the tent with you. I mean, the boot's frozen to the ground. I'm like trying to break the boot loose from the ground to put it on, and it's frozen. I'm wondering how I'm going to get my leg into this boot that's crooked and frozen. Okay, anyway. You learn to stand your boot up straight before you go to bed. No, straight up.
So it doesn't.
You put something so it doesn't bend or crinkle because then it freezes that way.
That's unfortunate.
Go ahead.
Let someone know where you're going to be hunting.
Absolutely. I send your mom a snapshot of where I am every time.
See, this one says GPS, but it says, for those of you that had a mini heart attack because I suggested a GPS pin of your hunting spot to someone, get better friends. That's the best advice. Jeez. Number three, bring emergency gear just in case. You'd rather be way overprepared than underprepared.
True.
Just in case something happens. A first aid kit. You know, something that's got gauze and bandages and alcohol, stuff like that. And then, you know, some people really like to have a GPS. This one says the Garmin GPS map.
Mm-hmm. Those are good.
In case you're out of signal.
That's probably more when you're hunting on U.S. Forest Service land, that sort of thing here in the South Carolina. Now, out west, it's a totally different story.
Number four, take in the serenity. And I did a post on this past week. And, you know, take in everything around you because, like you said, Dad, every moment in the outdoors is not the same. And you got to really enjoy what's going on. And when you're hunting alone, at least for me, I feel like it's more meaningful because it's just you and the woods. And that's a good feeling. But since it's you and your wood in the woods, you got to be aware of what's around you. And it can be good and it can be unforgiving.
Absolutely.
And predators is a big thing. You know, right on here, we don't have to worry about a whole lot. But definitely if you're going out west, somewhere where there's bears, wolves, stuff like that, just be aware.
Moose.
Be aware. Know what you're dealing with, where you're going. And then, you know, if you're, this comes down to public and private properties, it can get scary with people.
Yes.
You know, especially on private property, because you can catch a person trespassing or you can accidentally trespass on their property and you don't know how they're going to handle confrontation. And it can be unpredictable, and you are out there by yourself.
And usually those encounters, you're not prepared for those.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're not expecting to see somebody else.
Right. Number six, don't be afraid to adjust your tactics. It can be a different tactic when you're hunting with a group. Break out. Do what you got to do. You got to do what you got to do to get the job done. And, you know, if that means getting out of your stand and going walking around. I've done that before. And you don't really have to worry about anybody else with you. But if you're hunting on public property, you might want to wear that Blaze Orange. That's a very important thing. Number seven, make sure you always wear your safety harness. And that is something we've stressed a lot on the show. Very important. And it gets to the point where it feels like a second skin. You feel odd without it when you're up in the stand.
And the lifeline.
Yep, the lifeline too. But it says here, you know, you can go unconscious. It says suspension trauma can cause death in as little as 30 minutes. So,
yeah, that's where the little suspension relief strap comes in handy.
Yep.
It's meant, and you need to do that before you get in the woods. It's meant to put your foot in and push up to take the pressure off the straps around your legs so you can, the blood can circulate.
So, you really got to You ought to do number 8. Use common sense. Think about everything
you're doing. Short supply sometimes these days.
It is. It is. But you got to think about every step you're taking in the hunt. You know, reflect on what you're doing. And another thing that they put in here that really shocked me was don't get careless with your shot.
Don't get careless because you've done it many times before.
True.
That's the big thing. Don't think I've been doing this for 20 or 30 years. It can't happen to me because that's when it will happen to you.
Mm-hmm. You never know what's going to happen. And the summer has shown me, you know, things can happen in a blink of an eye and you never see it coming.
That's right.
And it's really opened my eyes. But just take it slow. Be safe while you're out there. Don't rush into anything. Enjoy it. Really just take it all in.
And speaking of, how is Austin doing? Quickly, you got about 30 seconds.
He's doing very, very well. He should be, if anything is going right for him so far, which I think it would be, he will be home November 24th. Okay. Hopefully in, if not a walker, which is what we're hoping for,
okay,
he will be in a manual wheelchair, but he is thriving down there. So.
And they kind of told him that with work, he would be walking by next summer.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So very good news there to get you through that experience.
Yep, exactly.
So. Now, I enjoy hunting by myself. I do. It's and even out west, I enjoyed being by myself. I enjoyed hunting with those that I was there with. Mm-hmm. But on some days, I remember just going off by myself. And it's a different feel out there. Mm-hmm. It really is. But you can get the same feel here. That's the cool thing about it. That alone in nature type feeling.
Yeah.
Doesn't have to be hunting too, folks. It can be hiking, fishing, anywhere where you can have some quiet time.
Speaking of fishing, Randy Howell just found my personal account. Should I accept it?
You decide that one on your own. All right, folks. Thanks for tuning in. Go donate to King's Home. $100 to win a boat. And as always, make time to get out there.
Take the back roads when you can.
Don't forget the camera. See you next week. More Woods and Water, South Carolina.